Hello and welcome to the Personnel Today Friday podcast. I'm Tara Craig and I'm joined today by Dan Thomas. Coming up, we discuss the perennial problem of staff turnover, look at the latest trends and hear what employers are doing to tackle it. And we look at the potential impact of court injunctions on the public sector. But first, the news. Royal Mail's pension deficit has reached £8 billion, although a full three-yearly evaluation of the scheme, set to be published in the next 2 months, is expected to reveal an even bigger deficit. Royal Mail has a legal obligation to make up the deficit, so more money could be drawn out of the business to support the scheme. The chief executive of Alliance Boats has earned almost £2.1 million after just 9 months in the job. Andy Hornby, former head of HBOS, received a pay package which included £600,000 in salary, an £805,000 bonus, a £240,000 cash payment in lieu of pension contributions, and a £400,000 signing on fee. Liberal Democrat Ed Davey is the new employment minister. Davey, who was previously chief of staff to former party leader Ming Campbell, will also be responsible for consumer and postal affairs. You can read these and other news stories in full on personneltoday.com. Dan, as you wrote earlier this week, one of the biggest challenges facing any company is keeping turnover rates down while retaining the best staff. For a start, what impact has the recession had on turnover?
Well, IRS carried out some research this month which showed that the median voluntary resignation rate in the UK was 8.6% last year, which is obviously the midst of the recession. And you might think that resignation rates might actually go up as people are stressed during a recession. What the research actually showed was the resignation rate actually went down from the year before because people were sort of more worried about job security.
So people are staying put rather than risking moving on.
Absolutely.
And has there been any variation between sectors?
The IRS research showed that the resignation rate was actually highest was in the private sector at 9% compared to 6% in manufacturing and 8.4% in public sector. Now, I spoke to Noelle Murphy, who's the employment relations editor at XPHR, and she actually pointed out it's not unusual for resignation rates to be low in the public sector regardless of the economic climate. And when they did the survey back in 2007, before the recession had arrived, the rate for the private sector was 15%, compared to 11.8% for the public sector.
And according to the same survey, the average cost of labour turnover was £544 per employee in 2009. But apart from the financial implications, there are other costs associated with turnover. Tell me about those.
Well, I spoke to Stuart Duff, who's the head of development at business psychologist Perns Candola, and he sort of talked me through the disadvantages of both low and high turnover. Now, for example, if there's low turnover, he said they can create problems for organisations in the long term, particularly if staff are staying for the wrong reasons, which we touched upon earlier. He talked about the, quote, talent paradox, which shows that when the most ambitious and driven employees, who tend to be the most talented and earmarked as future leaders, are more likely to take the risk of leaving to further their careers. And as a result, those who may stay may be less open to change and more sensitive to risk. So leaving sort of the staff who are less ambitious and less leader-like staying at the organisation. Now, high turnover can also be a problem, creating an atmosphere of who is next, should I start looking elsewhere, impacting morale on those who are staying.
So basically, it's not just managing turnover per se. It's got to be the right turnover.
Absolutely.
So what should employers be doing to keep hold of the right staff, particularly now because the economy is picking up and competitors are going to be recruiting again?
Well, I spoke to Graham Paul, who's a partner at the law firm Dundas & Wilson. He gave me a few top tips on managing turnover. And there's a few sort of obvious ones, such as understanding why employees leave. Now, not everybody does this, but he suggested that all organisations should conduct a confidential face-to-face exit interview, which many do. But he said this should certainly be with an HR manager rather than a line manager, because obviously they could have existing issues with the staff. And other examples are benchmarking your organisation against current industry standards. Now, certain industries will have different rates of turnover than others, so something like 30% turnover may sound high, but if you're in hospitality, for example, that's actually half of the industry average.
Thanks, Dan. One of the other big stories this week has been the ongoing tussle between British Airways and Unite the Union, which is representing cabin crew protesting at changes to their terms and conditions. The airline won a High Court injunction, since overturned, to prevent industrial action. Some weeks ago, Personnel Today flagged up the likelihood of seeking injunctions becoming a trend. This is looking increasingly likely, and this week several experts have told us of the potential negative impact of court injunctions on striking organisations, particularly the public sector, which is expected to see real industrial action once spending cuts take effect. Dan, how could injunctions damage the public sector?
Now, we've spoken to some experts this week who predicted that public sector employers might look to court injunctions given the sort of success of some employers, obviously not BA this week, but some have had success in this area. But they warn that it's not quite as easy as it sounds. For example, costs of a court order can be up to something like £25,000, which for someone like BA they can easily afford, but for a public sector organisation, particularly with money being tight, that wouldn't look very good for the public or employees. And then there's the other aspect of public empathy would tend to be with the employees, particularly, for example, nurses.
You know, the other factor there, of course, is that the public sector is accountable for its spending.
Absolutely. So, I mean, if they're spending cash taking the unions through court on technicalities, that's not going to look very good to taxpayers.
Okay. And what areas within the public sector do we think are most likely to see conjunctions, and why would that be?
Well, we spoke to Roger Seifert, who's the Professor of Industrial Relations at Wolverhampton Business School, one of the leading experts on this issue, and he suggested that the areas of the public sector most likely to see conjunctions would be those that have typically suffered poor industrial relations, thinking of areas such as the fire service and universities, or those with strong commercial interests. But again, he stressed, as we've mentioned, that the cost of injunctions would be hard to justify for these and any other areas of the public sector.
Okay, so what should organisations be doing as an alternative to seeking injunctions?
Well, everyone we spoke to said this should always be a last resort rather than one of the options, and they stressed that employers should focus on negotiated settlements. And as Roger told us, I mean, injunctions don't get to the heart of any dispute and in fact lead to worse industrial relations. It's, quote, expensive, time-consuming and potentially damaging. And Lisa Patmore, who's an employment partner at Pinson Masons, said that the United Successful Appeal of the BA injunction highlighted that they're not guaranteed to succeed anyway.
Thanks, Dan. Well, that's it from this week's podcast. Thank you for listening. Remember that all of our news stories and features are available on personaltoday.com, which is updated throughout the day to bring timely, independent commentary in the HR world. Until next week, goodbye.